the Bible teaches that we must not allow anything to take the place of God in our lives. And if we're married, that includes our spouse. In this Timeless Truth segment from our archives, Jeff and Rose Colon exhort couples to keep God first in their hearts and lives.
Jeff and Rose Colon have joined us in the studio. Jeff and Rose, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you, Mike.
Thank you for coming in and talking with us. We want to talk today about spousal idolatry. Jeff, we use the term idolatry a lot in the things we talk about here at Pure Life. Could you kind of give our listeners an idea? What exactly is idolatry?
Well, Mike, I've heard it said like this, that, you know, an idol is just something that we just consistently make equal to or more important than God in our attention, desire. Maybe we just talk about it all the time. We're very devoted to it. We make choices that revolve around it. It's just something in our lives that has become more important to us than God has.
So it could be anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be something bad.
No, absolutely.
Well, how does a spouse know if he or she has made their spouse an idol in their heart?
Well, there's some telltale signs that people can ask themselves. You know, what is it that I really adore? What is it that I really put my hope in? What is it that I really look forward to? What is it that I really make sacrifices for in my life? Or even this, Mike, you know, what am I always talking about? Mm-hmm. What is the most prevalent topic that I tend to talk about? What do I look for my peace in? What do I look for in my meaning and my happiness? You know, am I looking to my spouse to make me happy? There's a lot of good telltale signs that will show us that if something is really an idol in our hearts.
Rose, when you're looking at the wife in a marriage, what are some of the ways that you might see as a counselor where a wife has made an idol of her husband?
One of the ways that I've seen is when a wife is consumed with her husband as far as what he's doing and what he's not doing. Mm. If he's spending time with the Lord, if he's not spending time with the Lord, if he's not pressing into God the way he's supposed to be pressing into God, the focus is just the husband. She's made the husband out bigger than God is. And because of that, God is very small in her world. I mean, she's just consumed with her husband. An example I can give of that is I can think of when my husband was in his sin, I was consumed with his sin, what he was doing. And when he would leave the house, just consumed all day, this is the day he's going to be acting out. And I wasn't focused on my own walk with the Lord or anything else, on even my work. I was just so consumed with my husband and what he's doing, what he's not doing, or is this going to be the day that he'll act out. So what I've seen in my personal life, but then too with working with women, is when the husband becomes an all-consuming object to her, then what I see, it starts affecting her relationship with the Lord, but then too, it affects how she acts and responds towards her husband.
So you're not saying here that a wife shouldn't care about her husband, she should never think about her husband. It's really a matter of balance.
Right. It is a matter of balance, because it's okay to wonder how my husband is doing, but to be thinking about it 24/7 to the point where you're anxious and worried inside in your heart, you know, that's where you see, okay, I'm crossing a line because I'm not trusting the Lord with my husband.
Jeff, when a husband or a wife has made an idol of their spouse, how do they begin to deal with that? If they've recognized it, what's the steps they need to take to deal with that?
Well, first of all, Mike, they need to understand that from the Word of God, we're told that God will have no other gods before him. He's a jealous God. He longs for the attention that we give to other things because God desires to have a relationship with us. And he wants us all to himself. And that should be our desire as well, because really, he is what we ultimately need. And he understands that. He created us for that. He created us to have fellowship with him and to be satisfied with him. And he knows when we look to other things that we're not going to be completed, we're not going to be fulfilled in him, and he ultimately just wants to bless us and give us what we ultimately need. So he encourages us in his word to turn away from worthless things, to turn away from things that won't satisfy, and to seek him diligently and to make him the all-engrossing object of our lives. Not that he desires us to fall at his feet and he needs that worship, But we were created for him. We were created to have fellowship with him, and he wants that fellowship with us. So it displeases him when we go to other things and look to other things. So a spouse needs to understand that they're giving something to someone else that only God should have. Mm-hmm. And that if he's not first in their lives, they're not going to be able to fulfill his purpose and plan for their lives.
Well, is it too strong a statement to say that if this is the situation that they're in, that they're in sin, that they need to repent of?
Absolutely, Mike, mm-hmm. because sin is missing the mark. And if God is not our goal and our I'll call it our bullseye, we're missing the mark. And that's what sin is, going around God to get what I want. So God has to be at the center of the marriage. And if both spouses don't have him as their first source or their first object of desire, they're going to be off track and they're not going to be in the will of God.
And in 1 John, we read, John tells us to keep ourselves from idols. And so you read that command and you see there's something I've got to do as far as making sure my heart, I'm not allowing my spouse to become an idol in my heart. You know, always checking my heart to make sure that God is bigger than my spouse. You know, he's able to keep my spouse. He's able to watch over my spouse. I don't have to be worrying 24/7 about what he's doing, because our God is bigger than that. You know, when I start worrying and fretting, like I said earlier, that just reveals that something is not right in our heart. And it's usually the tendency of making our spouse an idol.
What are, to either one of you, what are some of the practical things that either a couple can do together or the spouse can do in their own walk to overcome this?
Well, I know for myself, Mike, if I have something in my life that is taking my attention away from where it needs to be, I need to start making choices to get my focus where it needs to be. The Bible tells us, commands us, set your mind on the things above, not mm-hmm. the things of the earth. And we just need to rein in our thoughts. We need to rein in our feelings, and we need to start going to the throne of grace, which is where we'll get what we need. We need to start getting in the Word of God. We need to start seeking God more on a daily basis. And the more time we start spending with God, the more time we start choosing to make him the first thing that we're going to be pursuing, he's going to automatically balance things out. And then we're going to start seeing things right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start to see our spouse in the right perspective. And what spouses don't realize is that when God is first and when you're right in your relationship with him, you're going to be able to fulfill your role as a husband or a wife the way God designed you to, because things are going to be in the proper order.
Mm. Rose, how often have you seen in counseling where the other spouse has been an idol, that as they begin to let go of that a lot of issues and problems that were coming up in the marriage kind of begin to take care of themselves?
Yeah, they begin to fall by the wayside because the focus is off the other spouse and they're focusing more in on the Lord and what the Lord wants to be to them and why they were created for him first and for his purposes. So the focus really gets off of self or the spouse, the other person, and it starts to get more on the Lord. And as that happens, you are free inside. You become more free and you have more peace inside and you're able to just be a blessing. Instead of looking to get something from the other person, you're just looking to give and be a blessing to them.
All right, that's it for this Timeless Truths segment. God bless. We'll see you next time.